blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, we are concluding, far as I know, our sermons and our preaching on divine healing this morning. And we look forward, Beatty and I will be here next Sunday. We look forward to Brother Abdiel preaching next Sunday. He is our intern for the summer, and so he is required to do some teaching and preaching. And we felt that it was necessary that he preach on a Sunday morning as well as a Wednesday night. And so we look forward to Abdiel's ministry next Sunday. If you would this morning, get your Bible and go with me to 1 Peter. We've read some scripture this morning already from Isaiah about our Lord's suffering. The title of our message this morning, just a little simple title, I thought about the title, He Uses Suffering. Are you kidding? He uses suffering. Are you kidding? But I chose not to use that one. I chose to use this one. He suffered. Can we do less? He suffered. Can we do less? And so we read from Isaiah 53, but let us now go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and just three verses of scripture. Verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And then verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. And so may the Lord bless not only the reading of His word this morning, but the proclamation of His word. This morning at 5:30, when I awakened, I got up and started my journey for the day. And in the process of my journey for the day, I picked up a manuscript that I'm supposed to read and to give a report on. And that manuscript is a book that has been written by Faye Penland, Faye, one of our evangelists. Faye and Betty Baxter, for years, 30-some years, traveled across the church preaching. Faye came by a couple of weeks ago and gave me a copy of her manuscript. And she said, Pastor Thompson, I'd like for you to read this and get your opinion. And so this morning early, Sunday morning, now on Sunday morning, I don't turn the TV on. Other mornings when I finish my devotion, as I'm finishing up my preparation, I watch a little bit of the news. I have to have the Word of God to get me prepared for what I'm going to hear on the news. But I want to be informed. But on Sunday morning, Brother Beecham never shaved on Sunday. Well, I do that, but I don't. I sacrifice the TV. I don't even listen to music on Sunday morning. It's just the Word and sitting before the Lord. But this morning, the manuscript was laying there, and I picked it up and got so excited about it and got into it so much, I read three chapters before I put it down. And it dawned on me, hey, you've got to go to church. You've got to go and preach. You need to get your clothes on and get ready to go. But I hope to finish that book later today. But it was Faye Penland talking about her journey with the Lord. And in the midst of that, she talked about many challenges that she had said or experienced. And so I discovered in the opening of that book that here is a woman of God who preached the word for over 30 years, and yet she suffered. She engaged many different challenges of life. And so when we understand what the Bible teaches us about divine healing, we saw, number one, that God is on the side of health. We said that 2 weeks ago. We saw from the scripture, Exodus 15:26 was one place, that the God is for our health. And in Exodus 15:26, he said, the Lord said to the Jews, he would not put upon them any of the diseases, none of these diseases that they found in Egypt. We also saw that first Sunday that God gives us rules and guidelines about how to live. And we looked at several of those. And then we saw that in the Old Testament, there are at least 20 miracles, at least 20 miracles of healing. And then we saw in the life of Jesus, and we don't have all of his miracles recorded. We know that. But we saw and understood that the Bible does 27 examples, give us 27 examples about Jesus and healing. And then we saw in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, 12 times the Bible speaks about healing. Now, in my journey, I have discovered what I call, in my faith journey, and many challenges that I have had in my life, and as being a type 2 diabetic, that I have to deal with that every day. God's not chosen to heal me. I've asked him many times, but the Lord has not chosen up to this point. I've discovered in my life what I refer to as wet healing and dry healing. Wet healing and dry healing. Now, let me explain that to you. In the 1960s, my dad was still living, and dad owned a farm. I worked with him on the farm. And one of the things that we liked to do, especially in the summertime, was go fishing. We loved to fish. And we sometimes would get up early in the morning, and we would go fishing for a couple of hours and then work the rest of the day. And one of the little places that we liked to go fishing for a quick trip was the Susie King Milling Hole. Now, Susie King, K-E-E-N, King, was a woman many, many years ago in our neighborhood that had a grist mill built, and she made money by grinding corn. That's how she did. And so in the process of time, the old grist mill fell down and was destroyed through a storm. Some trees fell on the top of it. But the old race, you know what I'm talking about? The water race, where the water would come up and then go over that grist mill, and the dam where that old mill sat on was still, the water was still there. And Daddy and I liked to go fishing there. And you talking about some big fish. Oh, we could catch them. And my daddy especially knew how to catch them. But running into that, and just bear with me, I'll get there. Running into that was what we called a little branch. Now, up in the mountains of Virginia, they would call it a little creek. But where I was from, we called it a branch. Now, a branch to me was something you could jump over, but the water is a little different up in the mountains, so they call everything a little creek. Anyway, they don't use that word branch too much. They need to use it a little more often. But there was one branch that would run into the big body of water that they had the old grist mill. And that branch, normally, you could go and jump over it to go from one side of the race of water to the other side. And I remember one particular morning, Daddy had went over on the other side, and the shade was more over there, and Daddy was just throwing them out, Bo, come get this one. And he would throw them out. They'd fall off the hook out there and be flopping on the ground. And he'd go back to fishing. Bo, I said, come get him. Bo, come and get him. And I wasn't doing a thing on the east side. And so I decided I would go over there. And here I am now trying to get to Daddy. Now, I had jumped that little branch several times and been delivered. Several times. But on this particular morning, I had the snake hoe. We always carried a hoe. Now, if I go, I pack, okay? But back then, I always had a snake hoe. I always fished with two poles. I'd be fishing with one, and the other one is sitting there set, ready for a big one on the bottom, maybe a big catfish to hook. And then I've got a bucket where I had tadpoles. Oh, some of those fish. We had those old big tadpoles, and I didn't turn it on a deal. I'm sorry, but I've gone too far now. And we had a bucket of tadpoles, and then I had my tackle box, and then I had my other little bucket where I had my fishing worms in it. And so I've got a hoe. I've got two fishing rods. I've already got a string of fish that we've caught, and we always carry the fish with us on our string, because if you let it sitting back there where you came in, some old big turtle would come up and eat all of your fish right up to the gills, and you pick up and all you've got is heads of fish and no tails. And so I'm loaded down with all of this, and I get to that little branch, and so I back up and took a running start and didn't make it. Right in the middle. And I'm not turning loose anything. I'm holding to everything I got. And my head above the water, it was about 2-3 feet deep. My head above the water, Daddy, Daddy. And Daddy came and reached over and grabbed me and pulled me out. And he said, you know better than do that. And went right back to fishing. Now, in both cases, I'm delivered. But that's what I call wet and dry deliverance. My first, if I'm not so loaded down and I'm running hard enough, I jump over that thing. And I've done it time and time again. But that particular morning, Daddy's got one fishing pole and he's got some bait in his pocket and he's just throwing them out, going down the bank. And there I was, the gopher. I was carrying all the burdens of life. And when I jumped, I went right down in the middle. I was delivered, but I was wet delivered. You see the difference? So what we're talking about this morning as we engage suffering. Suffering in our lives is a stark, staring reality. Everybody has suffered. All the ages have suffered. Old folk, young folk, all nations, all individuals. Suffering in life is inevitable. Look to your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It is inescapable. It may take many forms. It could be physical, and that physical form could be a lot of different things. Disease. It can be mental suffering, and mental suffering can involve depression. We can suffer because of a sense of loss. We can suffer because we think of an upcoming sense of loss. Suffering can be many, many different things. When I was doing some research on suffering, I discovered several things. Suffering may be due to human neglect. Men, when we neglect our responsibilities, I'm talking about mankind there. Children at the border in Mexico and California and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona, there's a lot of suffering going on down there. And those little boys down in that are in the cave, there's a lot of suffering that is involved there. But yet much of suffering can be due to human neglect. That coach that took those level boys into that cave, he ought have known better. That's my opinion on that. He should have known that it was the rainy season and the caves filled with water. Well, we'll leave that, but thank the Lord. Margaret said before service, six had already been rescued. and we say, praise God, and get the other five, Lord. But famine, flood, fire, so many things could be avoided if men would not neglect their responsibilities. Now, suffering also can be caused because of human malice, because of racism, because of wars, because of persecutions, because of atrocities. How many of you remember as a child, and maybe that movie, there's been two or three, how many of you remember the story of the last of the Mohicans? Yeah. And I love that last movie that came out, The Last of the Mohicans. Chingachgook, did I say it halfway right? Chingachgook was the last of the Mohicans. And you remember in the last movie that came out, how that his son was running to rescue the girl that he had fallen in love with. And in the midst of all that, he died. And there the old man was, again, the last of the Mohicans, the tribe of the Mohicans. And he came up there and did business, but he still, his son was already dead. Wars, persecutions, all kinds of things. Suffering may be due to human ignorance. If we don't eat like we're supposed to, if our lifestyle, carelessness, DUIs, humans can cause suffering because of ignorance and stupidity. There's that word, Betty. There's that word you don't like me to use. And sin, as a result of that, sin can cause a lot of sufferings. When we read the Bible, we discover that the devil can get involved in this thing on suffering. And the devil can oppress Christians. Now, if you're a child of God, you cannot be possessed of the devil as a child of God unless you open the door and let him in. He has to get your permission to come in if you are a Christian. But the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And so we know that the devil can cause oppressions. And when you're doing the will of God, when you're walking to serve God, when you're saying yes to the Lord, we know that the devil will come and try to get you. He'll call somebody, Wanda Buckley, to run into you. He'll call somebody to stop in front of you. It doesn't matter that you're on the maiden voyage of the Holmes Bible College van. He'll call somebody to stop in front of you, so you have to run into him, so Mr. Hagee has to get it fixed. And so the president suffers, the students suffer, Bruce Hagee suffers, all God's children can suffer because of the work of the devil. And we know that the enemy can attack us. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 16, it's talking there about this woman who had been sick for a period of time. And the Bible says, Jesus heals her on Sabbath. And then they got into a big discussion about healing on the Sabbath. And the Bible says, so ought this woman whom Satan has bound for 18 years. And Jesus said, let's loose her on the Sabbath. And so Satan had bound this woman for some 18 years. And so the devil can attack, the devil can oppress, and the devil can even possess those individuals that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 9 is the story where the Mount of Transfiguration, and this father brings this boy. He brings his son to the disciples. And in Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29, I tried to get your disciples to heal the boy. Now, he says that this boy has been possessed of the devil since he was a child, since he was a baby. And we don't know how old the boy was, but there's several years involved here. And so in the process of that, the enemy, and you can walk around and go to different places. I can tell you in my life, there has been many places that I got out of the car or got off the plane and felt the oppression of the enemy. Certain cities, certain places. I remember when I first visited the crater in Petersburg, Virginia. The crater was where the Pennsylvania miners had dug a cave underneath the rebel Confederate lines. And after they dug the cave, they packed it with gunpowder. And then they exploded it, and there was a huge hole 140 feet deep and 300 or 400 feet across. And then the Yankees put the black soldiers, they let the black soldiers lead the attack. And the black soldiers went down to the bottom of that hole. And when they started coming up the other side, the rebels were just picking them off. And finally, the hole began to fill up with bodies, with bodies. Now, when I visited there, the hole is still there. Some of you perhaps have visited the crater in Petersburg, Virginia. But when I visited there and I walked down into the bottom of that pit, and started looking up the other side, I felt an oppression of the devil so strong and so powerful. So many soldiers died needlessly in that Civil War, but especially in that location. And you can see and feel at times how the enemy is attacking and the enemy is out to get you. He's not your friend by any means. And he's not dead. He's not even sick. He knows how to attack. He knows you well enough to know what gets you down. Betty said, Betty sometimes would be standing next to me. And I've learned a few things in life. I don't speak out so much like I used to about certain things. But I'll grunt. And I'll say, And, you know, there are just certain things that I just don't enjoy. You don't talk when you're in a buffet line. You don't talk when you're in a buffet line. I mean, if you're in front of me, get your food and move on. Don't stop and talk to your neighbor. And if you do, I'm going to say, I'm coming along. Maybe one day I'll stop grunting. Who knows? Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's not my point. It's not just the big things. It's the little things. He knows you. He knows you. And if you're a happy person like the Queen is, and if you've got that deep relationship with the Lord, she's just smiling and rejoicing and praising Jesus, and she doesn't have some of the attacks I have because the devil can't figure her out. Yeah, you ever know somebody like that, Wayne? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not that way. I couldn't play poker. My face gives me away. Yeah, yeah. Well, the enemy knows us and he's trying to attack us. Now, let me give you a summary of this thing about suffering and then we're going to deal with it. Noah Brooks gives us several statements about suffering. He says, people will suffer because we're a child of Satan. Now, not after we're saved now, but before. He says that we're joint heirs with the legacy of sin and death. Joint heirs with the legacy. He says that we sin through unbelief and negative attitudes. Yeah. He says that we can suffer because of sin and disbelief. And he says we suffer because death reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, reigns as a result of Adam's sin. The world that we live in is a fallen world. It's a fallen creation. And as a result of that, we deal with certain degrees of suffering. Now, we can understand, even when we studied the scripture, that suffering can actually be within the will of God. And a lot of people just don't balance out their theology. Some people don't read the whole Bible. Why in the world would God give one man a $54 million airplane when he can ride with American Airlines for $458 per trip? We get crazy in our world today. And for people that preach health, wealth, and prosperity, I'm going to get to it this morning. When people preach just health, wealth, and prosperity, if the gospel doesn't work in Thailand, and if the gospel doesn't work in the Sudan, and if the gospel doesn't work in Asia, if it's a true gospel, it'll work anywhere. Not just in America. And so when we begin to think about that suffering can be in the will of God, let me give you some points here. The providential use of pain. How many of you know if you have pain, you hurt? Right? But that could be good for you. How many of you know that if you stick your finger to a hot stove and you holler, you have learned, don't do it again? How many of you know if you have a tummy ache, it might be a signal of some greater problem? Pain can be beneficial. And yet they're suffering because of punitive suffering. I'm going to open my Bible. You do it too. And if Adele can get it, that'd be great. But go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58 and following. And I think we said 26 in the notes. It's actually 28, Abdil. Pastor made a mistake. First one he's made in 30. Let me not go there. I'll have to repent. But Deuteronomy 28, verse 58 and 61. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues. Now, a plague is bad enough, but the Bible says extraordinary plagues. Lord, I don't want you to come at me with that. Great and prolonged plagues and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And so there is something. Now, we had a next door neighbor that loved God. He was a man of God. But he believed if anybody gets sick, they had sinned. And Mr. Joe would say, we would say, Daddy would say, Joe, have you heard about so-and-so's got cancer? And Joe would say, I wonder what he did. And Daddy would say, now, Joe, he didn't necessarily mean he done any. Oh, no, but Donald, if anybody is sick, it's because they've sinned. No, not necessarily so. But yet the Bible would say there is a place that with certain sins of disobedience, God does allow sickness to come upon you as a punishment, punitive, as a punishment for you. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. And I love verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. For whom the Lord loves. And how many of you say, oh, I know the Lord loves me a whole lot? Well, maybe so. Maybe you are walking through some things that God is using to reach somebody else. Maybe because of your lifestyle of faith and commitment and dedication to the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So there can be chastisement upon us that the Lord allows to come upon us because he can trust us to be an example to somebody else about the grace of God. So we're talking about suffering in the will of God. We've seen that God uses certain things like pain. We do know that God does at times use suffering for punitive judgment, chastisement, and even trials in James chapter 1. In verse 2, and especially verse 12. James 1 and 2, the practical epistle. James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, wait a minute now, James. James, you sure you're speaking? James, it's the word of God. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And we're supposed to live such a life that people don't necessarily know that we're going through a lot of trials. So when you see me walking across the campus just clapping my hands and praising the Lord and dancing and rejoicing in the Lord, it might be because I'm going through a heavy valley. Wow. It might be because I'm obeying the Lord. How many of you know that if you're going through a dark cemetery at night, you're probably going to be singing? Anybody ever walked through a dark cemetery? Yeah. Daddy used to tell the story, and this is supposed to be a true story, in the home community there, that they had dug a new grave. And a drunk man was walking through the cemetery after they had dug that grave to put a body in it the next day, and he fell in the grave. And he tried to get out and couldn't, so he finally just sat down in the darkness in the corner of the grave and dozing. And about that time, another guy came on, walked through, fell in the same grave. And he tried to get out and couldn't, and finally the old drunk said, you'll never get out of here. But he did. But he did. Now, that's supposed to have happened in our community, Wayne. I don't know. I wasn't there. But we understand that these things in life that come our way. And James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 12. Blessed is the man, woman, who endures temptation. He will receive the crown of life. And so just because someone suffers, it doesn't mean that God is punishing them. It might be because the world has fallen. It might be because they didn't wash their hands when at McDonald's. It might be that because somebody else coughs on them and they pick up a virus. It might be because of this thing called germs. And it might be that their body, their DNA, is susceptible to certain diseases, susceptible to certain problems of life. What I'm trying to just simply say this morning is that people suffer. Is that people suffer. Now, two warnings. Noel Brooks again gives us two warnings. He says, do not easily assume that personal suffering or sickness is the will of God. In other words, resist. Resist the sickness. Don't assume just because you're sick that that's the will of God. It might be the devil behind it, and ultimately he is. It might be just because you picked up a bad germ. It might be because you're not eating like you ought to. It might be because you're not sleeping like you. So don't just assume it's the will of God. And even if it is the will of God, do not assume that it's going to be permanent. With Paul, the Holy Spirit said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. But with Job, God healed Job, and Job, at the end of his life, had twice as much as he did before the Lord allowed the devil to give him such a hard time. You say, wait a minute now. We know he had twice as many goats. We know he has twice as many sheep, but what about his children? His children, we believe, maybe were in heaven or they were somewhere, and then he had another whole set. So people always exist, so he had a double number of children. His sickness was not permanent. And his wife, God bless her memory, said, Job, curse God and die. But he didn't. And God brought him out. And so we close this morning with going to the book of Romans chapter 8. Abdiel, get that on the screen if you can. And I want to read three verses here primarily. So we suffer. We suffer. We have to deal with that. So what is our attitude in dealing with that? I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse 18 first of all. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He suffered. Jesus, his suffering was vicarious suffering. And sometimes we suffer through vicarious suffering. God uses our suffering to be a tool of instruction for someone else. But to understand this, that our suffering in no way compares to the suffering of our Lord. Now look at verse 22. For we know that this whole creation, that's where we are right now, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit. See, it's a timing issue. When is healing in the atonement? Yes, healing is in the atonement. But the issue is, when do we receive the full healing? When we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting. I'm in verse 23. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Ultimately, resurrection bodies, glorified bodies, ultimately delivered. Ultimately free from sin. Ultimately free from disease. Ultimately free from pain. Yes, yes, yes. And we look for it. We pray. We know God is on the side of health. We might be delivered dry, or we might be delivered wet, but we're still delivered. And as Christians, we believe that. We practice that. We have not because we ask not. We believe, we pray, we boldly go into the throne room of God and we ask God for the healing. But if He doesn't do it, we do not beat ourselves or condemn ourselves. Yes, we might analyze to see if we've sinned, to see if we're walking in disobedience. But we hit that thing with a positive approach. Lord, help me. How many of you know, most of us are older people. Elizabeth and Abdiel, we'll excuse them. But most of us are older people. And we know that when we get a little older, it's not quite like it used to be. Herman, we do move a little slower sometimes. Yeah. Thank Lord for a nice pickup truck. It's easy to get out of. I just turn around and slide. But getting in it, I got to get my legs just right. Thank God for the handhold. And Betty just about has to get a running start. But once she's in it, she's all right. Some things do change. Look at verse 26. In this thing, even with suffering, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And He tells us in verse 26 that He helps us to pray for things at times that we don't even know what we're praying for. We're praying in the Spirit. But He also helps us with the grace for suffering. And we picked that up from last Sunday, that my grace is sufficient. And then the third thing I would mention, look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. And you all know that verse. And we know. Likewise, the Spirit also, that's helping with their weaknesses. And we know that all things, Look at your neighbor and say, all things. All things. All things. All things. And in the Greek, all means all. Praise his name. And we know that all things work together. Joe McKinney right now might be getting in a car to drive to Atlanta. They might be there. They might be halfway there. But Joe McKinney has been teaching on that verse for years and years. And we know that all things, pantos, all things work together for good. God makes it work out. I'm amazed in watching my mama through the years. Mama would cut this in that pot. She would throw that in the pot. She would taste a little bit. She'd take a spice or two. And I'd go up and sometimes I'd look in that pot and it didn't look too good to me. But when mama put it on the table, have mercy. Bulldog break his chain. I'm talking about fitting. I'm talking about larriping good. Anybody know that word? Yeah. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say there that you have to be a called preacher. It doesn't say that. To those who are the called according to his purpose. I took piano for a semester. Jim Grubbs tried to teach me piano. I know where middle C is on that piano. But in order to really play a piano, you really need the right kind of fingers. I don't have the right kind of fingers. I got short, stubby, fat ones. But more importantly, it's got to be in here. And it's got to be in here. And it's got to be right here. And these right here, they do not hear notes. So I took music at Holmes Bible College, got a half a credit for one semester, and that's where it stopped. So I have to depend upon others. But Wayne is called and gifted to it. And we all say, amen. Sister Monette, you get to hear him quite often, don't you? Amen. He goes in there and he sits on that stool at the house and he plays, doesn't he? Amen. And that's such a blessing. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose and his plan. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying to you, if there are any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. That we don't assume that any sickness or any disease, well, it's the will of God, therefore. We had a boy at Holmes Bible College. You've heard me testify to this. He was from Florida. We're all studying for Brother Benson's test on Deuteronomy. And he was singing and just doing things, going places, and never studying. Never studying. We asked him one day, a couple of days before the test, we said, why aren't you studying? We're all even asking each other questions when we were shaving and getting dressed for the day. We're asking each other, we violated quiet hour by asking each other questions. We were learning. And he said to us, God told me I was going to fail, therefore I don't study. That's what he said. You know what happened? He failed. But that was not the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is to always study and make yourself approved unto the Lord, rightly dividing the word of truth. The voice he heard was not the voice of the Lord. What am I saying to you? If we're sick, If we suffer, we pray. We seek God. But at the same time, we recognize that this world is a fallen world. And we recognize the challenges. Now, you folk have heard me preach this morning, and I've preached the message this morning not to the novice. It's a message not for the novice, but it's for a message for a seasoned saint of God. But there's a lot of people don't know what we've said today. And there's a lot of people don't even have an idea how to balance the Word of God with these issues. And so that should make us as a witness to what the Word really teaches about this subject. But remember, prayer, seeking the Lord. There's not many weeks go by that I don't ask the Lord to touch my eyes. I have glaucoma. And there's not many weeks that go by that I don't ask the Lord to touch my diabetes. I'm in the donut hole right now. Anybody can testify knowing what the donut hole is? Anybody here? Betty's the only one raised her hands. All right. Betty and I both are in the donut hole. And so yesterday when I went to get my Jardiance diabetic medication, the woman said, "Do you know how much this is?" I said, "Woman, don't tell me. If you're scared of it, I will be too." She said, "Sir, I got to tell you before I hit this final button on the register." I said, "Well," I closed my eyes and I said, "Give it to me." And she did. And immediately I started praying. And she opened her eyes and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm praying for deliverance." One medication, I'm not going to tell you how much it was. It was too much. Wow. But the Lord has not seen fit. But that doesn't mean I don't keep praying. And I'm praying that ever who started that donut hole business, that they get saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God, because they're a tool of the devil. Amen. Can I get a witness? Yeah. So we pray and we seek the Lord. Brother Wayne, would you come and bless us again with those fingers? Would you stand with me this morning? I want some people to join me around the altar this morning. And I know every one of us here, we understand. If you understand what suffering is, even in your life or the life of someone else. And Bruce, right now I'm thinking about your Uncle David with that Parkinson's. He knows what suffering is. He knows what suffering is. If you know what suffering is, and Abdiel, it's more than just physical. It can be mental. It can be relationships. I'd like for you to come. And let's just come and pray this morning, and let us ask God. Let us ask God in His divine providence. Lord, you know we want to do what's right. But Lord, we want to live free. We want to live with anointing. We want to live free from disease and this pain and these aggravating things. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we ask you for deliverance, for your anointing in our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, we understand that all things work together for good. We got it, Lord. We've seen you do it. We've seen you do it. We've seen you do it. But we pray now, Father, as is our right to pray. We pray for healing. We pray for an anointing of your Spirit. We pray that we can be a powerful witness and tell others of your grace. Oh God, even in this service this morning, Holy Spirit, move from one to the other. Move from one to the other with healing for those that are not here, for Saul and David's, Alina and Caleb. Heal this morning. Touch them, we pray. And every way, Lord, everyone that we prayed for today, everyone that we've called their name in this house of worship today, heal in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For John, for David, for James, for Betty, for Marguerite, for Hobart. Oh God, healing presence of Jesus today, right now, right now, giving strength and anointing. Oh, Spirit of God. And Lord, we leave it to you, whether it's wet or whether it's dry, we leave it to you. But we pray it will be done. And we know, hallelujah, we know one day it will be done. One day it will be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.